Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue today with our discussion of the mission from heaven that has been established in our day by the Great Mother of God. And of course, we're speaking of Our Lady's mission at Bayside, the Lords of America. Her mission, as always, is to bring mankind to the true knowledge of her Son, who is Christ. Because, unfortunately, the true knowledge of Christ has been lost in these latter days. Most people today, if you were to take a survey, do not believe that Christ was God himself, the maker of the world. Many believe that he had brothers and sisters, or that he was subject to crooked human passions and temptations. And the reason that they hold to these errors is because they don't hold to the Blessed Virgin. We need her power and her intercession in order to have the proper vision of Christ. She brings us to the true knowledge of Christ. And we even see this in Holy Scripture. We refer to John chapter 2, the marriage feast of Cana, to which the Blessed Virgin and her son were invited. And Mary turned to her son and said, "They have no wine." And he said to her, "Woman, what is that to me and to thee?" But she very confidently turns to the waiters and says, "Whatsoever he tells you to do, do it." You see, she had this whole thing sewed up. This was her arrangement. And he turned right around then and changed the water into wine. Now, this was most significant because this was Christ's first public miracle. This was the first time in Holy Scripture where Christ showed us that he was God himself in person, a miracle worker. This was a major revelation for the world, but the point being that this all came through Mary's intercession. She wanted him to show the world his powers, and so for her, he did just that. And this is the second luminous mystery that we contemplate in the Holy Rosary, namely, that the knowledge of Christ's divinity comes to us through Mary's intercession. This is the moral of the story, in other words, the lesson. And we see Our Lady maintaining this same role today in the Bayside message. On May 26, 1979, Our Lady said, "My Son rose from the grave, both body and soul, and he ascended into the kingdom of God, but he is God, and you shall not deny his divinity in the Godhead. All who do are deluded by Satan and shall be called false prophets." On August 4, 1979, she said, "My Son is the Messiah. My Son has been upon earth, and he shall return again as he ascended." And of course, in the advent of his return, Christ is performing many wonders and curing the sick as a means of calling his children back to the fold before that great and eventful day. We refer especially to his visitations at the holy grounds of Bayside in New York, where he and his Blessed Mother have made their presence known during these latter times. For 25 years, beginning in 1970, the Blessed Virgin and her son would appear at the site and deliver a number of earth-shaking prophecies that are about to unfold in our time. And of course, we just quoted to you a couple of Our Lady's messages from above, wherein she states that her son is about to return to earth. And this is why Jesus and Mary have made their home upon these holy grounds, because their objective is to call us back home. To their friendship, that is. At our 34th anniversary banquet that was held at the LaGuardia Marriott in New York, a number of pilgrims came forward to testify to the many graces received at Bayside. This was attended by some 400 people, and the event was taped, so we're going to play a little clip of this now to give you a better idea of how Our Lady is working in the lives of her people.
We're talking about, you know, Our Lady bearing good fruits today, and we have seven examples today that are going to come up at this time, and we're going to take some testimonies in brief, starting with Father S. You know by now this is Father Robert Skirla. Father Skirla, as former International Fatima Blue Army chaplain, what is your comment about the message of Bayside?
I have a St. Mary's of the Assumption parish. All of a sudden, these Bayside messages started to appear in the back of my church. I don't know where they came from. And I said, "Well, I got to know what my people are reading." So I took the messages, and I took them home, and I studied them. I mean, top to bottom. And I said, "Hey, this is pretty good." For the next 10 years, I got my homilies from all the messages. And I never said, "This is from Bayside." If I did, they would have said, "Oh, you can't do that." But I didn't say anything. They didn't know the difference. It was Catholic doctrine, solid as a rock. So that was in 1972 when I started to do that. So I've been involved with Bayside mentally for over 30 years, and their souls to be saved. So Jesus and Mary, they need bishops, they need priests, they need lay people like you. What we're trying to do is save souls and Jesus and Mary want to use us as the instruments to fight the battle for the Blessed Mother. The Bayside people that I met are, I consider, very solid Catholics. If the church had made a proper canonical investigation of Bayside and the bishop would come out and say, that's condemned, none of you would go and I wouldn't go either. But it never was done. There was no investigation. Veronica said nobody even questioned her. So that's solid stuff. After I read the messages, what Jesus and Mary were saying, I would say that it restored my confidence in the one true Catholic Church. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Rachel Sanchez, you're from Astoria, New York. Would you like to tell the good people here what happened to you here on the sacred grounds here a couple of years ago?
Okay, the year 2000, around Easter morning, I went to the holy grounds and St. Michael appeared to me, and I was astounded. I couldn't believe my eyes, but he was in a beautiful yellow light, bright, and he was awesome. His mightiness of the power of God within him emanated from him, and it was just frightful to look at him.
St. Michael the Archangel appeared to you in the grounds. What was his message to you?
He told me that, why are you so sad? First he said, I'm St. Michael the Archangel, why are you so sad? And then he went on to say that, remember, the Eternal Father has sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die for you. So rejoice. You have been redeemed. Rejoice. Always remember to rejoice.
And this, every time you remember that, this has been a source of strength and consolation to you.
Yes, it has. And it's like awesome. Just to think about the love of the Father that came through him. It was overwhelming. Awesome.
By the fruits you will know them. I understand this made a believer too out of your husband, Robert. Robert, I understand that you were away from the church for 42 years and now this has caused you to come back.
Last year I started doing the rosaries and everything else. I don't know where I got the strength to think, but it's my wife too. That helped me a lot.
So you think that this grace has come through Our Lady of the Roses here at Bayside?
Yes.
Absolutely. You know your wife. You know she wouldn't make this up.
No. No. I know such a long time. She don't make nothing up.
We needed to hear. That's why we had you here today. We needed to hear this from you. Okay. Thank you. God bless both of you. Susan Maravec from Reading, Massachusetts. I understand that your faith just suddenly bloomed overnight. Would you like to tell the people here what happened?
Well, I guess you could say it bloomed overnight. I was surfing the internet, doing research, mainly on Malachi Martin. And I stumbled over the Bayside website and began to read and read the messages and had a very profound experience in that I realized I was reading the truth. All the answers that I had been researching and searching for so long, I found them that day. And I proceeded to read the website over a period of probably about 3 days. And
it looked like something just awakened in you all of a sudden.
It did. It really stirred my soul. It inspired me. It inspired me to return to the church, to start finding my way back, to go back and make a general confession. I had been away from the church for 25 years, and I wrote everything out that I wanted to confess and speak to the priest about. It was about 5 or 6 pages of written material. Small writing. Really just got it all out, all off of my chest. It opened up the path to me back to the church. I started going to church every day, saying the rosary. About a month later, I came to my first vigil. I had a very profound experience. It was an experience of contrition and repentance. I pretty much wept through the whole thing. You know, whatever was left sort of washed away. And Bayside was my way back to the faith.
This really liberated you like a little dove. Now you found your nest and you're right at home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm very grateful for it.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Grace Fernandez from Miami, Florida, and her husband, Dr. Manny Fernandez. Grace, would you tell the people here what happened to you back in 1985?
Okay, 1985, I came here for the first time. 4 months after, I was diagnosed with a lung cancer in my breast. My surgery was scheduled for December the 12th. I came for the vigil of the Immaculate Conception 4 days before, and it disappeared completely during the vigil.
Your tumor, your malignant tumor that you had to be operated on 4 days later, completely disappeared the evening of the vigil. And what was your response?
Well, imagine.
This needed to be operated immediately. And when you went to Bayside on December 7th, Feast of the Immaculate Conception, your cancer disappeared immediately, and the medical experts have no explanation. And your cure has remained to date?
19 years after. And I have to recognize that Dr. Henry, being a Protestant, did a letter to the Pope in December 1987. That letter was handed to the Pope in a public audience where many of the Baysiders are here. There were many Baysiders that day.
Let me ask you one question. What do you attribute this cure to?
This cure? The grace of God.
Our Lady of the Roses, basically.
Our Lady of the Roses intercession, of course. Of course.
Thank you. God bless you for sharing that with us. Norma Fosdick from Omaha, Nebraska. Norma, I understand that you were away from the church and the sacraments for 50 years, and I understand that you suddenly came back. What brought you back to Holy Mother Church?
Well, in 1986, I got a rose petal, and I carried it in my wallet until Michael and them came to Omaha to talk about Bayside. And after that, after I saw that, I went to confession.
With the way that they presented the faith, that inspired you to come back to confession. That gave you a beautiful image of the Catholic Church, and that inspired you to return to the bosom of Holy Mother Church. And you have been now with the church and the sacrament since.
Yes, I have.
God bless.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Diana Strain from Connecticut. Now, Diana, if you can tell the people here, where were you at before your introduction to Bayside?
Oh, before I came to Bayside, I was living a life right in the pit of hell through alcohol, drugs, and being promiscuous. I was right there amongst all the bad ones. I also lost my children because of the alcohol and the drugs. They were taken away from me by a court. Right after my father passed away, I've got direct orders from heaven. I had her spiritual voice. The voice told me if I wanted to be cured, I was to go to the shrine of Bayside. Now, I hadn't really heard about Bayside, except I knew my sister used to go to a place in New York and she'd pray. So I went to the shrine and I observed quite a bit. God had big plans for me. Even though I was very reluctant about the fact why he wanted me there, I said, Lord, I'm here, what do you want? And he showed me. I saw Veronica, but I looked into her eyes and I saw something that was not of this world. And I'll never forget that. So I kept coming to Bayside. And one night, I collapsed on the floor. And when I collapsed on the floor, my sister picked me up, and she took my blood pressure, because we were all nurses' aides and whatnot. She took my blood pressure, and it was like down to about 80 over 50. So I was like going out. I said to her, I feel like I'm dying, and my soul is leaving my body. It's going out through my feet. She gave me a blessed rose petal, which I took, holy water, which I drank, and a St. Benedict medal, which I placed on my forehead. My blood pressure came up again. So after that, they said I'd be all right. I went to sleep. Next morning, I got up, heard this voice again saying, now, throw them away. So I took the beer, the cigarettes, and whatever else I had, was still taking, and I dumped it all in the garbage. That's when I made my decision to give my life back to God. I had been a Catholic. I was raised in the Catholic Church. We did pray the rosary from time to time. When I was younger, I prayed it all the time. But now I've had direct orders from heaven that if I wanted really to be healed, this is the way to go. So I left the bar stool and I went to a church pew.
Bar stool to a church pew. It's not as expensive that way, huh? So since you're coming in contact with Bayside, you have been drug-free, booze-free. In fact, you're so free from the influence of alcohol that you could actually have a drink like a normal person. It doesn't even affect you.
This is the miracle. I can go out and have a drink. The Lord cured me of alcoholism. I don't knock AA or anything else. It's just the fact that for me, it was I wanted a complete cure. I wanted to be normal. I wanted to have a normal life. So every so often, I'll have a glass of wine. Half the time, I don't even finish the glass anymore. In my old days, I'd clear up the whole bottle. So it's really the miracle of the blessed rose petals, Our Lady of the Roses, where I go and I get my graces every month, more if I can, and I go to church. I'm in the front row. I do almost 3 hours a week adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, which I have direct communication with the Lord. I pray the rosary every day, 15 decades at least. I could try to get that in. And I go to daily mass, 2 to 3 masses on Sunday, and I am more happy today than I've ever been in my whole life. I am in contact with my children. I have did keep contact with them. I'm loved by my children. I may have been a lousy mother, but I'm an excellent grandmother.
Thank you, Diana, for sharing that with us today. You answered all my questions. This is Mary and Tom Bauer. Mary is actually the twin sister of Michael Mangan. Mary, you have some words you want to share with the people today.
Well, I was 17 years old when I first heard about the message, Our Lady of the Roses. And for the past 28 years, I've been able to read these messages, two big, huge volumes, and always find the counsel and the advice that I needed for my particular state in life so that I was able to conduct myself as an authentic Catholic, as a single girl, as a wife, where I ultimately met and married my husband, who also converted to the faith through Bayside, and then raised five children, the eldest who made her first professions as a Carmelite nun. And all of the guidance and all the advice that I was able to put into raising this family, all of it came through Our Lady of the Roses. And I would always say that if you would read these messages of Bayside, you would find literally a roadmap to heaven.
So you're saying that Our Lady to you was a guide in the nurturing your role as a mother and a wife, and this by being obedient to the message, this has brought about beautiful fruits in your family, especially the fact that you have your oldest daughter now as a Carmelite nun in the nicest Carmelite convent in North America.
Yes, and she would be the first to testify to that as well, the fact that all of the graces of her vocation came from this fountain here in New York.
She was cradled as a Bayside.
She wouldn't have been there except through Our Lady of the Roses. And she said that the Lord glorifies Bayside, Our Lady of the Roses, Mary, Help of Mothers.
So. Oh. Well, she may have a mission there that we have yet to see the fulfillment of. I understand now this has made a believer out of your husband, Tom. If you'd like to step up here. Now, you didn't used to be a Roman Catholic. You were outside of the Catholic Church. Now, you came back, you converted to Catholicism through Bayside?
That's absolutely correct, Dave. I grew up in a Protestant family. And being Protestant family, my father would take us to the church. But no, we didn't believe or anything else. Of course, because my mother would tell me when I grew up that once you're dead, that's the end of you. There's nothing going to happen. And I kind of believed it a little bit, so I went on with life that way. And then one day I met this lady here, and she brought me to Bayside. And that's history, Dave.
That's all history. It just lifted the veil. It made you realize that life begins with death, and there's a whole world of beauty, eternity out there waiting for you. That you're not going to get that presentation in the Protestant faith. This really inspired you there. And so now I have one last question. As father to Sister Teresa of Merciful Love, what's it like being a father of a Carmelite nun?
Oh, I was talking to you before, Dave, there's no words for it. There's sadness, there's joy, I miss her very much. But at this time, I'm just so grateful that she's there, and I'm so proud of her. She's full of joy, and she's in a great place, and I'm just very proud of her.
So God has endowed your entire family with beautiful graces, and you attribute these graces to Bayside.
That's right, to Bayside.
You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been listening to some of the pilgrims giving their testimony at our 34th anniversary banquet at the LaGuardia Marriott. And of course, these testimonials reflect the awesome power of God emanating from these holy grounds at Bayside. And sometimes the pilgrims have been extraordinarily graced to witness supernatural wonders at the site. You may recall this spectacular miracle of the doves that took place at Bayside on February 1st, 2001. During the vigil at about 9:30 p.m., droves of miraculous white doves inundated the sky above the Vatican Pavilion site to the joy of all the pilgrims. And it just so happened that St. Michael's Radio was taking interviews on the grounds that evening during the miracle.
But then all of a sudden somebody yelled, "Doves, doves!" And there are literally hundreds of doves flying by. Then all of a sudden, there are so many doves. If they landed, we wouldn't have any room to stand.
Oh, it's a thousand. I love it. I can believe it. I'm excited. And bright so much. You can believe it. It's beautiful.
The doves came by the hundreds from the eastern part of the sky.
Before even the doves came, that wind that was blowing, it was just felt like the Holy Spirit was rushing right through. And I seen all these doves, they're really remarkable.
It really was a spectacular display. It's unparalleled. I have never in my 23 years coming to the grounds here, I can't remember such waves of doves, just wave after wave after wave of hundreds or scores of doves.
I think that we should emphasize for our listeners that these are supernatural doves that the pilgrims are viewing. These are not natural doves, quite obviously, since they do not have white doves like this in that part of New York, especially in the dead of winter. But even if they did, they certainly wouldn't be flying around at night in 30-degree cold. But even if they did, you still couldn't see them because it's very dark there at night. The dove, as we know, is the traditional symbol of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Light. And the white doves are indicative of the great spiritual light that emanates from this holy site. God is raining feathered manna upon the apostolate. And for the past 9 years, St. Michael's Radio has been reporting weekly on the many graces and miracles coming out of Bayside. One worth highlighting again is a phenomenon that took place on June 18, 2004. Rosemary Sibley, the organizer for Philadelphia, was speaking with our President Michael Mangan at a recent vigil, and she relays to him what she witnessed on the holy grounds. Hold tight.
Rosemary, I know you have a wonderful story to share with us. You were here for Our Lady's 34th anniversary in June. Take it away.
Of course, I looked up in the trees because that's where we saw Our Lady at Mount Carmel the night before. And as I looked down from the trees, I saw Jesus standing right there on the Excedra. And it was full body. He was all in a white robe, and you could see his heart. And it looked as though his gown was blowing in the wind, like very softly.
Now, this occurred during the 34th anniversary Sunday Holy Hour for priests. So this would be in the morning. This is daylight.
I was so mesmerized by what I was seeing. I had the miraculous camera sitting on my lap, and I never even took a picture. And it lasted for about 15 minutes, and I've never seen anything like that in the 21 years that I've been coming here. And I was just mesmerized, you know.
That's amazing. You're saying it was a life-size Jesus. He was alive. You saw the garments, the heart.
We could see his face, but I couldn't tell you, you know, like what color eyes he had or anything like that. But it was him. I mean, he had a beard, and you could very clearly see his heart right through the white gown.
And your friend from Portland, Maine, saw the same thing?
Yes. She saw it first, actually, and this was her first trip.
And you compared notes the next day, and it was identical. You both saw the identical vision.
Yes. We both saw full body.
Amazing. Boy, what a manifestation. This is a vision of Jesus. What was Jesus doing, Rosemary?
He was just standing there with his hands at his sides like this. And he was just looked like he was looking out over the crowd, you know.
Isn't that wonderful? That is amazing.
The whole thing was such an experience. Like I said, I didn't even take his picture because I didn't even think to do it because I was just so shocked at what I was seeing.
Amazing. What was your reaction of your friend now? This was Carolyn's first time from Portland, Maine.
After we went home, she went back to Maine, of course, and I went back to Philadelphia. I received an email from her, and in capital letters, she wrote, "I believe, I believe, I believe."
You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and that was Rosemary Sibley speaking with SMWA President Michael Mangan at a recent vigil. These reports of miracles certainly attest to the supernatural character of the shrine. However, the greatest evidence of Bayside's authenticity is not the miracles, but is the message that the Holy Virgin gives on the holy grounds. The message from heaven really says it all. We are going to listen now to a recorded segment of the Seer Veronica receiving the message from heaven on May 30th, 1981. Just to orient you once again, Veronica at the vigils would be in a state of ecstasy, in which she would see and describe the Blessed Virgin Mary and her Divine Son. At their direction, she would repeat out loud the message they would give her while her voice was being recorded. This time, it is Jesus speaking through Veronica.
My child and children of the world, I refer to you as my children, for you are truly always in my heart. My mother has asked that I refresh your memory in relation to the dire urgency of your times. As a generation that has given itself over to all sins of impurities of the flesh, seeking in an arrogant manner the plaudits of the world and making others in servitude to him, I say unto you as your God that your world cannot exist in this condition. Many years my mother has traveled in diverse places among many tongues and nations to caution you and counsel you. Her heart, the purest heart in all the women of the world, our star of heaven, your mother, has tirelessly pursued her urgent pleadings with mankind to turn back as they slowly go forward faster and faster to their own destruction. My child and my children, the course ahead for all who will to stay in the light will not be easy. It will be one requiring sacrifice, full dedication, and placing God is in front of them always. For God is, God was, God always will be. First, always, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, this generation shall pass away, but my word shall not. For the end is fast coming upon mankind, the end of time as you know it, and your nation shall fall. The days are numbered for your country. Murders will abound. You will see insanity among mankind. For sin is insanity. Brother against brother. Children against parents.
You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been listening to a recorded segment of the Seer Veronica receiving the message from Jesus at the vigil of May 30th, 1981. Parts of this have been edited for quality purposes. We would invite you to write for the free messages and information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or toll-free line 1-800-345-MARY. There is no cost to receive the printed information, but again, we do remind you that your financial assistance is necessary to keep this program on the air, so we do ask that you be generous with your tax-deductible dollars. That mailing address, again, for all the information, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our website, www.smwa.org. And may Our Lady bless you in the days ahead.